Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep? Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. He's walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police, security, firefighters, and EMS. This is a veterans-to-veterans ministry. By God's grace, we are here to serve and help bring the truth to you through the Word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the United States Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we have as veterans is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from around the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information and loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I will have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing a specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated and extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well. The universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the Last Patrol. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. We have a very special series of programs coming up in the next couple of weeks, starting with today. I recently returning on a trip where I was up in North Carolina and also went out to Arkansas to visit some great friends out there and some strong men of the Lord and some incredible pastors out there. They're doing a wonderful job there in the Heartland Country in the beautiful Ozark Mountains out there near Bentonville, Arkansas. And we were invited to go to a radio station and do a radio broadcast along with Pastor Vincent Xavier and also Pastor Ken Wagner. And we really enjoyed our time up there in Arkansas. What I would like to do for this is I'm going to bring you that broadcast. Actually, we did two shows up there with them talking about the Last Patrol Radio Show and also talking about current topics, including presidential races, different things that are going on in our country. And I think you're going to enjoy this. Hope you enjoy a series of radio shows recorded live, Bentonville, Arkansas, on the radio station KRUM. And this was a live broadcast on AM and FM.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the northwest region of Arkansas. God bless you and welcome to this live radio broadcast. I am surrounded by some wonderful, wonderful men of God here today. I'm surrounded by the colonel and by Vietnam veterans and pastors and just men that God has taken into his hand and has done some amazing, amazing things. And I want to welcome them to the broadcast right now. Pastor Ken, obviously, good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Oh, good morning all. Praise the Lord. We are doing great. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Ted Marshall from Florida, welcome back to the broadcast.
What a beautiful day to be in Arkansas.
Yeah, amen.
It's just wonderful, and thanks for having me on your show.
Well, it's great having you, Pastor Ted, and you and your beloved wife have driven up here from Florida, and you've come into the Ark, into a nice sweet spot here, and you joined us the last time you were in town, and tell us a little bit about your ministry, what you do as a pastor and an ex-Vietnam vet and all the different things God is bringing you to.
The Lord has blessed my life. He's given me a new ministry, and my ministry is to veterans. And what we have done and what the Lord has put in front of us is a wonderful opportunity to actually go out and speak to veterans on the radio. We have our own radio show now in Tampa, Florida, and it's on a Christian radio station, and it's called The Last Patrol Radio Show.
Oh, I love it. The Last Patrol.
And it's veterans talking to veterans. It's being able to reach out to other veterans that for many years have maybe felt alone, felt maybe not being connected to what's going on in the civilian, and also the ones that are nowadays that are facing so many problems. You realize that there's over 12 suicides a day of veterans.
Wow.
And it's a real problem. It's a real ministry, and what they all need is to hear the truth. And they've been lied to so much, and it's hard for them to listen to someone else who hasn't been there.
So you basically have a pulse on what's going on with the ex-Vietnam vets, and I remember last time we talked, you actually have a ministry where you take the wall, like a made-up wall that is a replica of the wall in Washington, D.C., and you travel into different parts of the country bringing that wall. And what is the response to that? What is that all about?
The Moving Vietnam Wall, there's two or three of them that travel around the country, and we have a special group called the Last Patrol. And what we are, we represent the Last Patrol in Vietnam of 1973. And the guys that are in the Last Patrol, we do a special performance at the walls and also at other veterans events throughout the country. And what it is, it's done with music, it's done with narration. It's a narration of the Last Patrol in Vietnam. There's the music from the era, and we do special formations. We show what the diamond formation is and so forth. And what happens is it reaches all senses out there. The Vietnam veteran, or even the today's veteran, the Afghanistan, the Iraq veteran, sees this, sees what's going on, and it touches them. And especially when it comes to the Vietnam Wall, so many veterans have stayed back away from it. They were treated so badly when they came home that they just went into their shells and went on and lived their life and tried to live their life, but something was missing. And from shame that unfortunately the country treated us when we came home, and to nowadays, they're still inside a hurt. There's a deep hurt that has not really been addressed. And this is an opportunity to minister to these veterans. Once they see this performance of The Last Patrol, it seems to break down all barriers. Not only are they seeing the uniforms from that era, they're also seeing and hearing the music from the era. So there's two senses that they're being covered there. Plus, when the smoke flares come out, they're smelling the cordite smoke. The smell is coming back. So all senses are being hit. And it's a tremendous, tremendous ministry because it hit so hard. We are invited to different veterans events throughout the country. And matter of fact, Don has performed with us. Don Huddle performed with us up in Chicago area when we were up there, when the moving wall was up there. But recently what's happened in the past 5 months has been a miracle. We did a Last Patrol performance. A man approached me, and he said, you know, I've always wanted to do something for veterans. And I find out he's a manager of a Christian radio station. And he said, I've been wanting to put a program together for veterans, but I understand you're a pastor. I said, yeah. He said, would you be interested in doing that? Think about it. Pray about it. I said, sure, let me do that. Let me pray about it, see what we can do. And he said, we'll need a name for the program. They're going to give you 35 to 40 minutes, and it's going to be a weekly radio show. And there's the perimeters. Go ahead and see what you need to do. Prayed about it. I talked to my guys. And I said, I need a name for the show, and I'm going to ask permission to use the Last Patrol radio show. And all the guys in the patrol said, you bet. You bet. There's 12 of us. And I said, I need a intro music. Use our theme song. We had a theme song that was written and performed for us by the Last Patrol. Did the first show, and they loved it. The radio station loved it. And we did about 6 shows. And the Lord showed me that you need to be able to make this mobile. You need to be able to go anywhere and be able to produce this show. Be able to do interviews with veterans right on locations. I started figuring out how I could do interviews, how I can integrate the interviews into the show. And then it came to me that I need to really have my own portable setup, how to do it. I prayed to the Lord, and I asked the station manager, and he helped me put together what I needed, a wish list, went out and piece by piece kind of put it together. And now I'm able to produce the last 6 shows I produced in my own home, music editing, everything else, all the show, phone-ins, everything else I produce at my own little home studio, FM quality, and go and send it right to, make an MP3 out and send it right to the radio station, and they're putting it in the catalog, and off it goes.
Okay, so what we need to do now is that needs to go on internet radio.
Yes.
All right, it's not on internet radio yet.
Well, it's on the radio station has a
has an archive, right? People can go
live feed.
A live feed, okay.
Right. But you're exactly right, and that's one of the reasons I came up here to talk to you about that.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, we're going to get you going global here to 57 nations around the world. As a matter of fact, we're going to be restarting a global radio internet station. And it'll be a 24/7 radio station on Blog Talk Radio, and we'll be having all of the different wonderful speakers that have a relevant message for this hour 24/7 on the internet. We'll be working on that. We'll talk a lot about that today.
And
here's an interesting thing. You know, you do these live interviews with Vietnam vets. Pastor Ken was in the Vietnam, and, you know, an interview with men that have come out of it. But what's unique about both of you men is that you came out and your shame, your guilt, their condemnation of the nation against your lives has been basically eradicated and taken away because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And having a pulse, having being so close to the Vietnam vets as you are, you know, that's a huge issue right now in the presidential elections and all these things going on. And unfortunately, a few weeks ago, the colonel gave us an article about Vietnam vets somewhere here in Arkansas that turned into a homosexual situation where they're having parades. And is that just a further meltdown and breakdown of the hurt and the woundedness that's going on? What is the pulse of the Vietnam veteran movement right now?
Right now, we're starting to see a lot of our veterans not only breaking down mentally but physically. We're seeing where Agent Orange has really come and is causing a lot of particular problems that the VA, of course, is saying, well, that has nothing to do with it, which it really does. In my own instance, I have never had any knee problems or anything like this. My dad is almost 90 years old, and he's in great shape. He's a fishing guide down in South Florida, and nobody in our family has ever had any problems like this. And I've got a degenerative bone disease in my legs, and of course the VA says, it's nothing to it. No, it's got nothing to do with Agent Orange. You know, I was kneeling in that stuff, and I know I was kneeling in it because they use it to spray it around the perimeter of the air bases that we protected in the Canine Corps, and we were in it every night. But I'm seeing a lot of physical problems that the vets have, and with those physical problems, they're losing hope again. They're feeling that the country is really turning against them. They didn't help us when we came home, and now we're much older now, and our health is going down. And of course, the fiasco with the VAs, it's compounding. And not only us, but we're seeing the younger vets. We're seeing the guys from Afghanistan. We're seeing the guys from Iraq, the war veterans and so forth, being mistreated again. And we're not going to stand for it. And the pulse of the Vietnam veterans now is, hey, not again. Not again. You fooled us once, but you're not going to fool us twice. You're not going to hurt our sons and daughters that went to war. No, we're going to fight for them.
So does that make you a Trump supporter?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Talk about that. Why are the veterans moving in that direction? Because sometimes you wonder, are the Vietnam vets being used as a political pawn for these people running for candidacy, or is there a genuine care and concern that you're, you know, beyond just getting the vote, but you're these people really reaching out to serve? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on Trump and that situation is, first of all, what I liked about the man is it's kind of like what happened with Ross Perot. I was fortunate enough where I did bodyguard work and did security work for Ross Perot. I knew what type of man he was. What I liked about Ross and what I liked about Trump is that he's his own man. He doesn't owe anybody anything. Nobody has any strings that they can pull and say, oh, you know, I did this favor for you. I need you to do this for me now. And the most important thing is he doesn't need the job. He doesn't need the money. He's not going there to get rich. He is doing what our patriots did way back in the like George Washington and so forth, that were able to risk everything for our country. Their wealth, their statue, their farm, their land, it didn't matter. The country comes first. And what I'm seeing there is a retro of what's then happening now. And he was one of the first ones to come out and say, you know, the VA is not doing the right thing. One of the first ones to actually say, we need to take care of our vets. They put their hand up. They swore an allegiance that they would give everything up, including their life, to defend this country. And to have the country back away from them and welch on their deals won't stand. And I was glad to hear that. And that's the first thing I was listening for. So what are you going to do for the guys that are coming home now? Us old guys, us Vietnam vets, we fought the war and been fighting ever since, but we don't want these young guys to have to do the same thing and get to our age where maybe things are finally changed. It needs to happen now. And I think our best chance for that happening now is Donald Trump. He's going to go on there just like Jesus did and topple over the tables I think that's what needs to be done.
The potential is there to kind of bring that revolutionary spirit.
That revolutionary spirit.
Reformation.
You bet.
Yeah.
And what I really like about it also is that he's listening. A man of business, I know the colonel can do this, can understand this too, is you may not be the smartest guy in the room, but you can put smart guys around with you, and the smart man or the wise man listens to his advice of the other people. And he can do that. And then make a decision based on what he thinks is right. And looking at his track record, becoming a billionaire and having to work against all the unions and corruptions and so forth in New York and Manhattan to build there, yeah, there's a can-do attitude again that this country really needs.
Outstanding. Yeah, it's an interesting time in our country, and I get the feeling, if you're to just boil everything down when it comes to this campaign, this election cycle that we're in right now, the country seems to be extremely polarized right now. There seems to be a major division in our nation between Republicans and Democrats, and within both parties there are fractions. We seem to be divided deeper than ever before. It just seems that way. with that division, if Donald Trump were to be elected the next president of the United States of America, first of all, I hear a lot of our Hollywood actors are going to move out of the country. That would be really good. I'm good with that.
Right away.
You know, some of these people packing their bags and getting out of here.
Deportation works.
Deportation works.
Self-deportation.
So, but is it? Do you see a candid reality that if Donald is elected and he begins to do what he has proclaimed he is going to do, in other words, build that wall,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to get the, you know, do the, with the jobs, bring the jobs back and put taxes on carrier companies like that that are abroad and want to sell back and all those things. He wants to deal with the Islamic issue in our country. He wants to deal with the 12 to 15 million criminal, illegal aliens that are here. Wouldn't that resonate? I mean, obviously in the protests, people are saying, we're going to go to war over that. So it doesn't Donald Trump becoming the president throw the nation into civil war again? Don't you get that kind of feeling?
I think that's what they're trying to
project.
But the dividing is between knowledgeable people and the unknowledgeable people. We've got so many people that have been lied to for so long that they've lost the ability to hear and understand the truth. So we have the uninformed that are being spoon-fed the Kool-Aid about everything's going to be all right, we'll keep it the way it is, it's going to be cool, we know what we're doing, let us stay in office, let us stay in power. And this is both Democratic and Republicans. And I've got to say this. When a man raises his hand and makes a pledge that he's going to support somebody and does it on national TV twice, the groups did it, and then back away and don't do it.
You're talking Ted Cruz here.
I'm talking Ted Cruz.
Right.
I'm talking Jeb Bush. I'm talking the other ones that refuse to
honor their word.
Honor their word.
Yeah.
Right away, that shows you directly this man is not honorable.
Right.
Why should he represent us?
And there goes the lie, because a man gives his word, doesn't keep his word, but blames the individual for the problem to take the attention off themselves.
When Ted Cruz said that, well, he attacked my family, well, you know what? All of us have to make sacrifices.
Ted Cruz's campaign launched the first picture against Donald Trump's wife.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a response mechanism.
When that happened and he decided to say, well, it's because you attacked my family that I'm not going to support you, I took a different kind of look at that. I said, first of all, it's really audacious of you to think that you and your family are more important than the entire country, that your hurt feelings are more important than what's happening in this country now, that you would jeopardize that because of that. What kind of principles are you standing for? Are you standing for yourself? Are you standing for the greater good? Our founding fathers stood for the greater good. They were willing to give up everything. And then I brought it back a little bit further. I said, you know, Ted, what about us veterans that our families suffered because someone raised their hand and wanted to serve and was killed in the line of duty and service for a country? What are you sacrificing? Your hurt feelings? Your pride? Where's that coming from? It's not coming from a patriot. It's coming from somebody who's self-centered, who is in it for themselves. That's not we've had enough of that.
Yeah, and on the other side of the coin, getting back to this whole, you know, situation, if Donald becomes the president, what condition is the country going to go in? When I hear, and we're just listening, we're watching and observing what's happening around us in our world, when I hear the progressive Democratic left, far left, more far left than they've ever been before, mm-hmm. is what we're understanding, saying that our country is great. And yet you ask yourself, you know, what is being referred to here in the progressive greatness of our nation? And you get the idea that they are saying that we're great because we have the ability to release into society things that were once taboo, like homosexual marriages, mm-hmm. lesbian marriages. We are great because now we allow these things to happen in our society. We are great because we allow women to abort and shed innocent blood in our land. We are great because we do open our borders to 12 to 15 million illegal aliens and allow them to operate within our system of government, taking jobs from people that were born and raised here. We are great because we do allow mosques in our country to harbor terrorists that are lone wolves and are being radicalized in our mosques right here beyond the internet. So what is it that really is being made great? When we look at our country and we see a time where police officers are being shot and killed, when we see consternation in Ferguson and Baltimore, when we witness a housing market collapse, a time of debt that we've never known before, into $20 trillion of debt, when we see the polarization, when we, you know, all these things that are happening. You can't go to a nightclub in Orlando or 49 people are shot and killed. San Bernardino, Oregon, Fort Hood. We go to the Boston Marathon bombings. We keep looking from 9/11. We see Katrina. We see the disasters in Joplin, Missouri. Our nation has been in this upheaval, and it's as though we're like ants and we don't remember yesterday. We just keep pursuing our goal. And God is there saying, wait a second, you're moving in the wrong direction as a nation, and yet you're fighting for this progressiveness, and the sway, the deception is so powerful. It is such a powerful sway over the minds of men today. It is very powerful. But what is really great, greater than what we were a generation ago? A generation ago when in 1972 and 73, abortion was illegal in this country. Homosexual was illegal in this country. You went to prison for those things. Our television programs were not X-rated, triple X-rated, R-rated, PG-13 rated. We didn't have all of this stuff going on in our society, and everybody can look back and say we were a morally righteous people. We were not a perfect people, but we were a lot further along. We were not in the debt that we were in. We didn't have all of this stuff going on in our country. So what is greater about this, this nation today? What are they really proud of?
There's two nations. There's their nation, and there's what's really going on. It's their utopia that they're looking at, that all these liberties that they are professing they're going to expand our life and expand our consciousness and so forth. They're being deceived, and they're deceiving us. And Americans being lied to. They're being lied to. They're being through the not only lack of information, but the information that's being withheld. And that's the truth. The truth is being withheld. When a lie is put out there, hands up, don't shoot, when that lie is expanded on, that lie becomes a fact to the minds of the uneducated or the ones who are not seeking the truth.
You know, it's interesting when you bring up the slogans like that. It's been said that when good men do nothing, evil prevails.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes our silence to certain things is an approval of what's being done. And the silence of the police shootings that's gone on from within our government, there's almost a projection coming from the White House, a projection coming from the DOJ, a projection that's basically saying, you know, we're not shouting loud and, you know, going crazy about what's happening. We're offering our condolences here and there, but there's not really an intense crackdown on what's happening, an intense, hey, we have been violated, something horrible has happened. And that silence is very loud, basically saying, this is justice. You police officers want to shoot and kill these young black men? Well, you're being shot and killed. That's justice. We're going to step back. We'll give our condolences. And that's not healthy for the nation, is it?
That is leading a road to anarchy. And it's an agenda, I believe. And I believe that Satan is behind this, perpetuating this agenda, that he is making it where whatever's the right thing to do will be squashed and the wrong thing will be done. And that would be told as, well, this is what should be happening. We don't serve a Lord that wants to have restitution and wants to say, well, because of that, this is going to happen. And because of, we don't serve that Lord. We serve a Lord that wants all of us to see and hear what the truth is. And once we see that, and we can see through the incredible darkness that's come over this nation because of the lies, because of the deceiving, because of the different tactics. Now, being military men here, Colonel and
Pastor Ken.
Patrick Ken, and we're making you military.
Yeah, I've got a haircut.
You got to see this haircut. Too bad. You got a great haircut for radio. It's
got a face for radio.
You
got a face only my mother could love. Listen, I had to tie a pork chop around my neck for my dog to play with me in the last week. Believe me, I know what it's like.
One of the main things that's happening, Colonel, you know the term a false flag. Now, a false flag in the military a false flag would be like a ship with the United States flag on it, but it's really a pirate ship, mm-hmm. and it's sailing amongst other American ships and gets close to them and then fires at them and still keeps that flag up, doesn't lower it and put the pirate flag up. That's a false flag. Another thing, a false flag is a situation where you have somebody with a white flag that's walking in, and what the white flag is, not just a flag of surrender, it's a flag of truce where a meeting is supposed to be made, where the people walk in with a white flag from two groups, two camps that are warring, and they're supposed to have a general meeting. Well, the guys are walking under a white flag, and they get ambushed by the bad guys, and they keep doing that. That's considered a false flag also. The media is presenting us false flags. And how they're doing that and what they're doing that is by not telling us the truth, they're hiding what the real agenda is. So that's the false flag. They're hiding what's behind, what's really going on. For instance, let's take a look at Dallas. In Dallas, they have the open carry where the folks can carry, and that's good. I'm a Second Amendment person. I was an NRA law enforcement firearms instructor, so I understand the Second Amendment. But what happened, I believe, was a false flag. I believe that they were being led to a slaughter, just like the white flag was. The police were keeping their eyes on these guys that had the guns to make it, they're making that obvious. They're keeping their eyes on, in that situation, their eyes were turned away from where they should have been looking, and that's along the buildings. When you think about it, a rifle in a building in Dallas, doesn't that kind of bring back memories of maybe we should have been looking there?
It's where JFK was killed.
Exactly, right? Exactly. But it was a false flag, and I believe that was orchestrated, if not by the groups that did it, but I believe Satan organized that. He made that happen. He put the right elements together, the right elements of hate, the right elements of distraction, the right elements of a false flag, and that happened. And we have to make sure that when we see something or hear something from the mass media, we need to dig into it and find out what really happened. Ways of doing that. You create your own intel sources. You have people that live in the area that are law enforcement people that you know of. I do. This is the way I create my intel. I have people that through my military connections and through my law enforcement connections and so forth, I can call these guys up and say, hey, what's going on? And we'll talk, just like you and I are. The truth comes out. And they'll be the first one to say the media is not telling you what's really going on. We're being lied to. We're being deceived. False flags are happening. There's a hidden agenda out there, and all this is leading to one thing. It's leading to America being dumbed down, when it comes to what's really happening to their country.
So let me ask you this question, and Pastor Ken, I'd like to bring you into this conversation as well. We've been sitting by patiently. Someone like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, we see these world leaders around and about us. God is a compassionate God. God is a loving God, a merciful God, a forgiving mm-hmm. God.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. We're going to stop this recording now, and we'll be able to pick this up next week. time forces us to do so. It's a very interesting discussion that we had. And this is with Pastor Vincent Xavier and also Pastor Ken Wagner up in Bentonville, Arkansas. They are with New Wine Ministries up there. I hope that you enjoy and are listening and understanding. Our agenda is the truth. And our agenda is to follow and to hopefully, with God's help, bring this country back to where it should be. I thank you for listening. Tune in next week for Series 2 of this interview.
Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush. He played for keeps. The enemy was all around. Didn't Charlie ever sleep? Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back. He was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, 'cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul.